level.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about an emotional level. Because that's where I'm at. This again. Now I remember.
This is the Poofcast. Fabulous Adam Richard, punctual Toby Sullivan, and our guest host for about 6 minutes, jovial Thomas Jaspers.
Hello.
How are you feeling, Jaspers?
Oh, lovely, bright and chirpy.
Now, we should explain that Scott is on tax exile.
He's had to go to Thailand for an anal transplant.
His anus replaced.
He got the call from the Institute, we've found a donor. And he had to race out to Tiger Terminal to get on the first bird to Phuket.
We should ring him like by a surprise.
Just telephone ambush him.
Send the immigration.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What if he's under anaesthetic on the table? What if his woozies is Dr. Ringfinger's about to perform the transplant?
It could be a problem. He actually is in Perth, so he'll have a time delay of 26 years.
He's in Perth on important show business.
I am totally in Perth on important show business.
Hello, Scott Brennan. It's
hello,
the rest of the Poofcast, and we have Thomas Jaspers here.
Hello, darling.
Sitting in your chair.
Oh, hello, Jaspers.
It's nice and warm. What did you do to it?
Oh, God, you don't want to know. Just don't look down.
Is that what you say to all your trade?
I don't think you need me anymore, guys. My work here is done. You've got Jaspers. He's making comments like that. That's all I do there.
That's what I told him. I said, look, can you come and help out because Scott's away? And basically what it involves is us being mean to you about your sex life and you occasionally saying that was my nickname in high school.
Yeah, pretty much. You can just have a Scott Brennan soundboard and press the right button.
Just mix me in.
You can be an app.
How is Planet Perth? What's happening?
Planet Perth is delightful. I'm currently, it's actually really warm. It's like high 20s. I'm currently, but it's actually a little bit hell because I'm in my apartment drinking international roast.
Oh! The humanity! The humanity!
Oh my God. Why, if it's hot outside, why are you drinking hot beverages inside that are horrible?
Because I'm really hungover. And I need coffee.
Were you at Connie's last night, love?
No, I haven't checked in with head office yet. No, I'm going to... Gideon's actually here next week, so we've got a penciled-in date.
That's your flatmate, Gideon.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I just thought penciled-in date was my nickname in high school.
So you've scheduled a play date at Connections to...
Indeed. Where apparently there is lesbian mud wrestling.
Oh, there Ooh. Always is. That's
yeah, yeah, Wednesday nights.
Green Day Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to Zabansky.
It's a really unedifying spectacle. Like, have you ever seen homeless people fight for food on the street?
It's not that good.
It's not that good. It's really not that good. It's kind of like it's a bit like a first rehearsal for a Kesha concert.
Right.
Just less urine.
I'm imagining that it's going to be a bit like the opening of Midsummer, except if it was raining.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be like, remember when we went to Feast Festival and we just stood around on a roundabout and hid from lesbians?
Yes.
It's slightly more interesting than that. And now, Scott, I've got a letter which actually just came through today to Dear Talking Poofy, and I wanted to address it with you.
Yes.
It says, hi, guys. I usually don't write fan mail, but I felt this was warranted as I hear you may be leaving us. Apparently we've got the kank.
Oh, no. Have we
got Terminal Gay?
I think we've got Terminal Gay. He says, a friend of mine got me onto your podcast many years ago. It all started with the gay alphabet. I think A was for Amel, and from that day onwards, I was hooked. Aww.
Well, is he talking about us or the Amel?
He says, the laughs I've had from the bottom whisperer who was top or bottom, to the introductions of Astrid, to that bloody lesbian dog. And my And my favourite, the poofster, in the list goes on. So I really want to thank all of you, Adam, Scott, Toby, and of course, Wes.
Fuck, he's making me feel like I'm already dead.
I know. Oh, it's like a memorial.
For making,
it's like the end of the ladies.
Have we got some kind of award or something?
For making my train trips entertaining and sometimes embarrassing. Yours truly, an aging twink.
Oh, Scott, you've been writing letters to yourself.
I should clear it up. I wrote a joke on the Facebook page saying, you know, if you want to get in your Dear Talking Poofies, we're recording this weekend and you better get them in before we have an ABBA-style meltdown breakup. And it was just a joke.
But everyone's freaked out.
Everyone has freaked out that it's
really?
A real thing. And now that you're not in the studio, Scott, people are going to think it's real.
Oh, my God.
You're Annie and Agnetha combined.
Oh, my God.
But, Adam, I don't want to deny it because everyone's been replying, just going, no, don't break up. And I have to tell you the validation has been fantastic.
Well, I think it also comes out of when Tofop ended with Will Anderson and Charlie Clausen, and then Slap Bang with Tommy Little and Dave Thornton, which we have perved on while they've been recording it. That has come to a demise. And I made a joke on Twitter around the same time I'm going, and because there were all these messages of, you know, oh, I'm going to miss it. It's my favourite podcast.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
We should shut down the Poofcast just so people will tell us how awesome it is.
Well, look, to be perfectly honest, guys, if I can't perv on Tommy Little in the next studio, I'm out of the group.
We're going to have to get like a little cardboard cutout to put in the studio.
Yeah, can we get the photo taken from behind though? That's really good.
Remember that time he was leaning over the desk?
Presenting.
Oh,
presenting.
God. Well, presenting. He was puckering at us.
Can I tell you something, guys? The other day, because I do my my Perth broadcast from in this same studio when I'm doing 92.9, and next door doing an interview, I think with Kyle and Jackie O, were Hamish and Andy,
mm-hmm.
and Hamish Blake, the mm-hmm. inaugural pillow fort of joy, award winner, was bending over the same as Tommy Little on that desk. But because Hamish is a good foot and a half taller than Tommy Little, he was at 90 degrees.
Are you serious?
Oh, great.
It was
and at mouth height.
Yes. Oh. Mouth height.
Why wasn't I informed?
I didn't know it was going to happen. I just looked over and went, oh, I can't work this morning.
Yeah.
This is like the time I found the photo of Nick Jonas in the wind.
I am taking the rest of my life off to masturbate.
Yep.
Now, hear this.
So we should...
We had to take a lot of toilet breaks that day, did you?
Just a few. I only record for 7 minutes with Perth, but I was in here for 22. But no, we should reassure everyone, the Poofcast is fine. We may have to apply the defibrillator paddles occasionally because we're all of a certain age. But, we're not going anywhere.
We're far too self-obsessed.
We are.
To not talk about ourselves.
Yes.
What did the letter write? What did our correspondent want?
Yes.
That was it. He just wanted to say, I've heard you going. I want to let you know how much I love it. And I would like to say to Aaron, the
that says a lot about your insecurities that he wrote to say something really nice. And like, what did he want?
What did he want?
Yeah.
What did he fucking want?
Have you not listened to the podcast yet?
Yeah.
Is he the guy I owe money
to? What's he after?
What's his angle?
God. No, we're staying. If we don't do this podcast, we're like 2 minutes away from being that crazy guy on the tram.
In that case, what I love about that letter is that all the good bits that he brought up all date from about 18 months ago.
Was that before the pub crawl?
The only segment we still do out of that is the poofstery.
So clearly his iPod is broken and he doesn't know how to unsubscribe. And he's just forced to listen to it through some OCD impulse that he can't leave the episodes unlistened to.
He was very nice. He enjoys us on the train.
Well, thanks, Bevan. I think you should probably read a bit more widely. But thanks for your kind thoughts.
Yes, that's lovely.
Oh, dear. We will have more Poofcast after this.
I'm sorry I blew up your 1952 Fudge Master.
Talk poofy to me.
Right, book learning.
It is time for book learning. You're correct there, Toby. Thomas Jaspers is here. We are going to educate him in the ways of the gays.
I don't think I need much educating. I'm doing pretty well.
I know, the ways of the gays who are older than you.
Yes.
That would be the purview of Mother Horan and the Poofstery.
Hello.
How
Welcome.
Are you?
Do I not have a sting yet?
a musical sting.
Yeah, but because this is a podcast, we put it in later.
Shut up.
Don't tell him he doesn't have one.
I really should listen to your little podcast. But, you know.
Mother Horan, can I just say, all of the correspondents we have, everyone always mentions that this is their favourite part of the show. Like, we could all just not be here and they would still listen.
You are too kind.
It's why we don't have you on more often. You're a serious threat.
Because you're entertaining and educational, whereas we're just annoying.
Lovely. That's really, yeah, both comforting and disturbing.
So I'm dying to know, what shall we learn about today? Warm us at the hearth of knowledge.
Well, thank you, Toby.
You're so Chesterfield.
Why are all of our guests slightly passive-aggressive?
The role of condescension nowadays has really been overlooked. As a mode of communication, condescension is my favourite. And the young people don't understand that.
They don't appreciate. They don't appreciate.
Condescension? Oh, my God, that's like from before I was born.
Wasn't he on The Comedy Company?
Yeah, I've got tickets to that. It's going to be great. It's a really neat Greek DJ, apparently. Yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah. I don't know what to wear.
Oh, Mother Horan.
Ah, bless.
I love your impersonations of young people. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. It's chillingly accurate, isn't it?
About 10 years out of date, but yeah. It is accurate.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Bless. I know about young people. I know about their fucking sandals and happy pants.
Tamagotchis.
Can I tell you, speaking of young people, I'm related to some deeply white trash.
Sure.
Really?
I know. My cousin, there was my sister and I and my two cousins, both of whom were girls, and we were all like 1 year apart in age. So it was like, you know,
yeah,
my older cousin and my younger cousin and my sister was the youngest.
We are getting a history lesson here.
Yeah, we are. The cousin who's 1 year younger than me had a child at the age of 20 mm-hmm. out of wedlock, which mm-hmm. was quite a scandal mm-hmm. for the family.
That's great. What they do now.
Yes.
And come February next year, she will be a grandmother.
Oh, my God.
I know.
At the ripe old age of
40. Yeah, 40. Well, I'm 41, so she'd be 40.
You have to admire her efficiency. Yeah. She's not fucking about with this growing up shit, is she?
But I love it. I just went...
What is she, like a butterfly with a limited lifespan? And it's Adam, a spawn before I die? What is...
Adam's actually part mayfly.
Part caterpillar, I believe.
So the young people are still doing now what the young people did 20 years ago, and that is getting knocked up.
Sure. Bless.
Good on them.
I don't know why I felt the need to tell that story. I heard it this morning from my drag queen uncle.
Wow, Modern Family.
I know. Yeah. I'm second generation gay. Except gay travels diagonally through.
Profoundly recessive.
Yeah.
So, Mother Horan.
Right, sorry. Yes.
Thanks for coming in, but we don't have time for the poof story this week.
It's been real. I've got an interesting thing here for you today. It's not really a gay story. I realise I've been quite remiss in not talking about transvestite history.
Oh,
sure. Which is interesting.
In the GLBTIQ.
Here in the state of Victoria, there is a house actually up for sale right at the moment, which kind of prompted this whole thing. Of probably one of the most interesting transvestites ever to have lived in Australia and everywhere else. His name is Herbert Dyce Murphy, and he was born in 1879. Very, very posh, like tons of money. He was born in Como, the big mansion sort of thing.
Yeah. Actual Como, the house.
Actual
Como.
Lord. His parents owned huge, vast tracts of land and everything. He was, you know, really to the manor born.
Mm.
Anyway, he goes to Oxford, where he does very well. But amongst, you know, being a bit of a socialite and everything, he quite likes that old amateur acting. And in 1900... He's appearing in a play as a woman. And
was it at the Darabin Arts Centre?
The Laburnum Players.
Clock.
He was in a rerun of The Mousetrap. he was in this Greek play, in Oxford. Everyone was Lord so-and-so. And apparently the story that he tells everyone, he was so good at being a woman that the head of intelligence, military intelligence, saw him.
Oh, my God.
Because military intelligence guys, they go to Greek plays every time. saw him
back
and said...
in 1900
said,
they did. There was no television.
He said, Herbert Dyce Murphy, you're amazing. Can you work as a spy as a lady for us?
Oh, my
us?
God. This is Trevor Ashley's dream.
I'm optioning the rights now, love. Now, Herbert...
CSI Fat Swan. That's a very good...
The photos I've been able to track down of Herbert, even as an older man, he was very very slim in the hip, very light in the loafer.
Oh,
and
well, yeah, Trevor can't do that.
He was stunning. He was a very convincing woman. So anyway, he goes to London and spends time with living in the house of Lady Broughton, who is a family friend, and she teaches him how to be a lady and how to dress like a lady.
Wow. So he can spy.
Apparently the hardest thing, getting in and out of a hansom cab.
Oh, that would have been
hardest. Because you've got to keep your legs together and be ladylike. But it's quite a drop. So anyway.
Lindsay Lohan never would have managed that. Not without an upskirt.
I'm just imagining this sort of like 80s fame style montage of him training to be a woman.
The sports training montage.
Yeah. And like London 1880s Debbie Allen is just going, you want to be a woman? Well, being a woman costs. And right here is where you start paying.
In sweat.
This does the Charleston.
Yeah. I am going to be the best woman I can. So he trains as a woman. Now, this is... when you read those official histories, and I do this for fun, as well as occasionally for work, the interesting thing about reading a history like this is the gaps that start yelling at you. It's not the actual history.
Right. It's between the lines.
Because a lot of the history that I've read has been actually done by this guy. And this guy... Herbert, towards the end of his life, became very embarrassed about his life a transvestite and started to rewrite a lot of what history. So a lot of the history that we have is quite unreliable, especially this part. And just tell me if this sounds a bit weird. He says that it was a poor period of diplomatic relations with France and Belgium. So he had to spend a lot of time in France and Belgium.
Right.
Now, I'm sorry. Belgium can't do anything to anyone. So did military intelligence say, we'll send in our best transvestite.
I think these moo frites are not premium quality. We'd better send in James Bond in a skirt.
So apparently he spent a lot of time looking at railways and counting railway numbers and everything.
What?
So this is what he's telling us.
Because a man couldn't possibly do that.
That's why does he have to be a transvestite?
Because he's at this stage, he's Edith Murphy. Now, Edith Murphy is based in Paris, about 1903, 1905.
That's the worst drag queen ever.
I know.
Hi, I'm Edith Murphy.
I'm a society lady. I also run a chip shop. But anyway, so he's spending all this time, and he's so convincing that in the Bois de Boulogne, which is the big kind of forest bit of Paris, which is now a cruising area, apparently.
The Edith Murphy Memorial Cruising Forest.
But a guy was so taken with her that came up and proposed marriage on the spot. So he was so convincing. Now, also, this time he's
That's
also...
still illegal now. Yeah.
So he comes back to Melbourne in about 1905, 1906. All of this stuff is a little bit hazy. Mm. And a very interesting thing happens. He lives in Kew in a house as a woman. It's unsure as to whether his family really know that he's there living as a woman. It's all a little bit sketchy from what I can, from what my hastily researched piece can tell you. But anyway, so he's living with a retired sea captain. Interesting. Anyway, he gets...
They love semen.
He gets painted in this really quite stunning painting, which is now hanging in the National Gallery of Victoria.
Wow. Oh.
And it's a really beautiful painting and quite famous for another reason.
So you can go and see it. It's hung in the collection.
I'm not too sure whether it's up right now.
Right.
But it definitely was up in the 70s because... Patrick White, the author, saw it and was told the story. Do you know, by the way, that that's not a woman? That's Herbert Murphy, and that's the guy he was flatting with in Kew.
Oh, my God.
And Patrick White is so taken with the story that he writes The Twyborn Affair, which is probably one of his best-selling books out of this whole thing. Anyway, so he gets painted for this thing and always maintains that it's him. No one really knows whether this is the
painting is really him or not.
Yeah. Now, all of this time, so he's living as a woman doing these things, but he also has a bit of another career. He's also a genuine adventurer. Because in 2012...
Doubtfire versus Wild.
I know. It is. In 2012, he accompanies Mawson on his very, Antarctic exploration.
Mawson from the $100 note.
Yeah, Mawson from the $100 note. He accompanies him, and he's one of the most important parts of the thing. So, when he's
a woman?
When he's not dressing as a lady, he's Bear Grylls.
Oh, wow.
Basically. Now, the interesting thing, too,
He didn't travel to Antarctica as a woman.
No. In the full bits. But when you look at photos of him, you can kind of see him, and he's kind of quite well moisturized. And
oh my fucking God!
So anyway,
oh my fucking God!
So he is going to all of this time he's going to the Arctic. He has a big exploration sort of group of friends up there. But he during the Mawson exhibition, he's a really really important player. He actually
because when they had to eat the dogs, he did this fabulous teppanyaki thing, like rubbed them down with dukkha and slow roasted them,
did a number.
Tonight, for entertainment, I'm doing Madonna's Frozen.
From my time in Greek theatre.
Except on the voyage down, he was always at the front of the boat. Fly, Rose, fly!
But he is, he's actually in charge of the whole camp when Mawson is away. Mm. He's one of the guys that actually keeps the dogs alive and things. He's a really important guy in Antarctic history. And when he gets back to Melbourne, he dresses as a woman. But the interesting thing about the whole Antarctic thing is that he was turned down for Shackleton's voyage to the Antarctica because he was too effeminate. But Mawson went, he'll add a bit of something. He's an Aussie. And it's very interesting. Mawson's comments about Clay are very funny. Mawson wrote of him, "Our stand-in in small talk, travel, history and literature and whatnot." So he's a great sort of good
person. He's great at whatnot.
But also too, he does say slightly obliquely and elsewhere referred to his services that were cheerfully rendered.
Oh! He was the team bong!
Oh. Listen, anyway.
Give him a break. Do you know how hard it is to walk in snow in heels?
Anyway.
Does anyone know that Herbert and Edith are the same person?
Yes. Yeah, no, there is definitely there's a lot of documentary evidence of him growing, especially when he was still in Oxford and coming and going from France. There are photos of him at the Henley Regatta, at Ascot, at all of these things. And he is a woman and he's quite accepted as part of British society because he's a very well-born, very well-connected Australian. But he's living as this woman.
So he's sitting around the hut at Mawson Base.
And then some
wax dogs and Mawson, Douglas Mawson, going, "So, how's this woman thing work, mate?"
And that's the thing. Because the whole, of course, Robert Scott's, thing, that really did fall apart because he chose all these quite mentally unstable people, some of whom were great, great men. But Mawson, I think, included this guy because he was a bit of an oddball and thought, well, if he can be a spy in France, he can probably put up living in the Antarctic.
I'm going to do some crazy shit. So I'm going to bring some crazy people.
Yeah.
That is madness.
So anyway,
Was he, though, do you know if he was gay or whether he just was a transvestite? Because there are a lot of heterosexual transvestites.
Well, no, that's the thing, too. It's very likely that there is no in anything that I can find, any suggestion that he was gay.
Because wow. Wasn't he living back with the sea captain?
Well, he was living, they were sharing houses, right. Chums.
Right.
But yeah. For a single woman to be living within a retired sea captain, it is slightly odd. And also, when the retired sea captain died, he left all of his property to Edith / Herbert.
So, sea captain sounds like probably a lesbian.
They need to write this into Downton Abbey. Really, if it turned out Lady Edith was actually Lady Herbert.
Well, Lady Edith is the plain one on Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
But in the end, basically he comes back and he was discharged from the war. And there's a few little question marks over World War One involvement and things like that. Anyway, he comes back to Melbourne. He was an orchardist at Whittlesea for a while. And then he basically buys an enormous place at Mount Martha and becomes a city councillor, a very well-accepted person and thing. He married when he was 55 to Muriel Idreen Neville Webster, when he was 55 for some reason. He was a very really important Anglican sort of figurehead on the Mornington Peninsula and died a happy life.
You know, isn't this brilliant? Like you think, oh, it's 2012 and we're all sort of post everything and post-modern. Yeah. We're really acceptive and, oh, it must have been terrible living in those dark ages where people had such closed minds and nothing happened. But it just shows you, doesn't it, that the acceptance is as common a theme as ignorance.
Yeah. And I think because he was such a good talker and clearly great fun to be around.
Yeah, he must have been, mustn't he? To get away with that shit, he must have been hilarious.
He could have talked himself in and out of anything. Yeah. So I think people kind of went, oh, he's a bit of an oddball. And there he was. So, but yeah.
But there was also that thing where the gentry were allowed to get away with.
Yeah.
With murder, practically.
There's a great skein of mental aristocrats just doing mental stuff, and people just go, well, he's from good breeding, so how bad can it be, you know?
It's not like he's a demented cockney killing all of his friends down in the mine.
That's criminal. but when you're kind of, you know, he was very much an upper class kind of, you know, story. But
if she was a coal miner, he would have had Buckley's chance.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't wear your dress down the mine. Put him in the cage with the canary.
Yeah. But yes. So, yeah. So that is
absolutely so hilarious. Now, so his house is up for sale.
Yes. It's in Mount Martha.
Sea Captain Manor is.
But also, too, now the painting is, if you're interested in seeing it, I'll just try.
It's called I've Been to Antarctica, but I've never been to me.
That sounds like your autobiography.
When Trevor does turn this into a show, that's what it would be called.
That's what it'll be called.
Now, the painting.
She's going to have to lose weight for those thin hips, love. Yeah.
The painting, you can find it on line because it is quite famous. It's Philip Fox's The Arbor.
The Arbor by Philip Fox.
And it's around about 1902 it was done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Patrick White saw it in the National Gallery of Victoria, so I assume they now own it.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah. So
that is stunning.
Isn't it fascinating? Mm.
That is brilliant.
And what an amazing life lived.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing. Jesus. Trying to actually be thinking, I actually like dressing as a woman. I might live as one for a while. That's not easy
the
now.
Army.
Yeah.
But no.
I could sort of, like, I'm projecting it in my mind as he's just one of those, like, crazy guys that just gets away with things because he totally commits. So, Herbert, what do? I live as a woman called Edith.
Oh, yeah?
Fair enough.
It's what pretty good, actually.
That is that women's rights were so far behind, they couldn't possibly just hire a woman. They had to get a man,
dressed as a woman.
I've found the picture. I'll put it online. But there is there's Edith.
So, yeah, with the parasol, that's Edith.
All in all her glory.
Yeah.
Well, he was pretty finely turned out.
He was pretty. That's not a Miss Candy or anything. Although her eyes are very far apart. So, yeah, if Trevor Ashley could do that easily.
Wow, fascinating, Mother Horan.
Thank you.
So there you are,
so
Herbert
much.
Dyce Murphy, 1879-1971.
The original swashbuckling seahorse.
Who knows what dreadful creatures inhabit the reaches of this galaxy?
Talk poofy to me.
Oh, well, it's over now. It's a bit like dentistry. it hurt at the time, but now that it's gone, the absence of pain is in itself a joy.
You know what I like about dentistry? It is much like this podcast. There's a lot of talk about filling holes.
And opening up nice and wide.
And also, there's a muscle relaxant involved. Anyway, we'll be back next time.
I'm eating.
Now, I've got two. I'm sorry. I wanted
no, that's
to do
fine.
Three, but I didn't quite finish the third one, so I've only done two.
We can turn one of them into two. I've done that before.
You just leave the padding to us.
You may have only two topics, but we can turn it into six podcasts. We'll intercut it with scenes of us drinking.
Yes. We turned a voicemail message into four episodes.
One day I'm going to do an episode that's like 6 minutes of content and 30 minutes of outtakes.
It's called Channel 9.
20 to 1, bits of shit we found on the cutting room floor. Oh dear, all right. Talk poofy to me.